The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, in my heart. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. And he said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. This is the beginning of ordinary time. And in today's gospel, you hear Jesus' first homily, right? Go to the synagogue, he's given a roll from this prophet Isaiah, he reads from the scripture, and he sits down, which was the custom of the rabbis in those days, and he gave a homily. And not only was it Jesus' first homily, it was one of the shortest homilies ever. Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm coming back to that. Going to work with me on this? This was from chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, and I hate it. Forgive me. Don't like it when the gospel we read gets cut up, but we also heard the very first four lines of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1. And so today I actually like it. I'm glad they did it. It starts out with some of the most powerful words that Luke, who is a doctor and a physician, an educated man, says, "I've undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us." Right? Remember what Jesus said? "Today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." "And thus that those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word had handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew," right? Have we gotten the gospel handed down to us, but we must actually investigate it for ourselves and come to our own conclusion? Luke has done that and wrote it down for us in an orderly sequence so that most excellent Theophilus, you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. The certainty of the teachings you have received. God, come to us truly in Jesus and brings the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins, new and everlasting life. And I ask you, any scripture scholars out there, who is Theophilus? Oh, who said that? He said the church. Why would you say that? It just came to him. Theophilus, some people believe, could be a person. Might very well be. But the etymology of that word, I'm an engineer, I don't really know etymology, I read this. Theo, theology. Philius, friend, Greek. Theophilus means friend of God. Are you a friend of God? It's the church, Theophilus. And you know, God, who was far away in heaven, hard to really approach or understand, if you look on the face of God, you would die. But God comes to us in Jesus Christ, a person that we can relate to, talk to, that can be a friend to us, a friend of us, we, God's friend. That's powerful. There's many relationships, but some of the most dearest relationships are our friends, right? And for me, I get crazy. I'm single, I'm celibate. I talk about Jesus as my lover or my spouse. People say, how can you do that? Jesus is a man. God's love knows no gender. And so Jesus can also be our lover, but some people have a hard time with that. But also another form of love is friendship. Do you want to be Jesus' friend? Is he your friend? Do you want to grow in that friendship? And a circle of friends, when they meet a new friend, what do you do? You come back, oh, I got to introduce you to my friends. And you bring them back and the church grows. God loves us so, and Jesus came to be our friend, and at the beginning of his ministry, he goes into the synagogue, he opens the scripture, and of all the passages he could choose, he chooses this passage to proclaim to us what he is about, that the Spirit has anointed him. We saw the Spirit in the baptism, right? When the dove came down, the Spirit in the form of a dove, and then Jesus says, has anointed me, the Spirit has anointed me to bring glad tidings, good news, the gospel to the poor, proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord, a year of favor of the Lord. Or this is a Hebrew idiom, this is another expression for what is known as the Jubilee year. This is an important concept that Jesus is using that's explained to us what he is doing in humanity. Does anyone know what the Jubilee year is? Oh man, who brought him along? You are right. But if I had to try to explain it to you, I was trying to think of a way to explain it to you. Here's how I would do it. You got to forgive me with this. Got to go with it. Maybe some older people are out there who might understand this, but hopefully everyone does. Come, let me tell you a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting at some food. Up from the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. And he lived, began a jubilee. My words, not his. A jubilee is a new beginning. It's when the poor strike it rich and move to a new neighborhood and start over. Even though that's only symbolic, because that won't necessarily buy you freedom. But the year of Jubilee is a new beginning, a time of rejoicing, and it comes from Leviticus chapter 25. Throughout the whole chapter, it describes several things. You know about the Sabbath, right? The seventh day we rest. You know about the sabbatical, what I'm still waiting for. Every 7 years, you get a year off. Every 7 times 7 years, 49, and then on the 50th year was a year of Jubilee. And this, I think, is incredible. Imagine this. What happens is, and it comes back, when the Hebrew people first went into the promised land after the Exodus, a land when they were set free from slavery that they did not earn on their own. God gave them the land. They divided the land among the 12 tribes to every single family. And then as they lived on the land and bartered and negotiated and had the business affairs, over time, some people ran into money problems. And so they didn't have credit cards. They would have to sell their crops. They would have to sell their land. And if they indebted themselves too much and couldn't pay it back, they were sold themselves into slavery. And the Hebrew people knew that the land came from God, that all people were created as God's children to be free. And so what they did, the Sanhedrin would declare every 50 years a year of Jubilee, when all the debts are forgiven, all the slaves set free, and everyone returned the land to the original owner when it was first divvied up. Does that sound like that would be a joyful occasion for someone in debt carrying the great burdens? And I don't know about you, but have you or are you experiencing a great debt? Maybe it's a credit card debt. Maybe it's a loan someone gave you. Maybe it's a student loan. Maybe it's a capital campaign, which I can relate to. But you feel this great burden, and you're worried about it. And when you wake up in the morning, you wonder how you're going to pay that debt. When you go to bed, you worry. Throughout the day, you worry. And it feels like it's a heavy weight holding you back. And everything you gain has to go to the past and make up for that so that you might one day have a better future. Jesus is using this analogy. He forgives us of our sins, our debts. Forgive us this day our debts. And the past can hold us back and enslave us. It can be a heavy burden upon us. And whether it's things that we have done wrong or by mistake, or things others have done to us that have hurt us, the past truly can hold us prisoner, and it may keep our focus and prevent us from going forward in the future. Jesus says, I've come to set you free, forgive you of your sins, fill you with the Spirit, heal you, renew you, and give you a new future and a new beginning. Jesus wants that beginning for each of us. Forgiveness of our sins and acceptance of the Holy Spirit to bring us back to our homeland, to return us to our true selves so that we're free to be who God truly created us to be, not held back by fear, not by despair or darkness, but light and hope, not by sorrow, but by joy, and not by alienation from ourselves or the community, but united in love as a friend of God. And so the Holy Spirit is there, who anointed Jesus, and he's here for us. That's the message. This is the beginning of the year, the liturgical year. Do you want a new beginning today? And I'm going to ask a very unusual thing, maybe, for this church. I'm going to ask you to, if you want a new beginning, to come forward. And I'm going to ask people to come forward and stand at the altar, and we're going to pray together as a church. And so, to receive a blessing, would you have the desire, the yearning, to not only hear about God's teaching, but to ask for the power of that Holy Spirit to proclaim a day of Jubilee, a year of Jubilee in your lives? And so if you want to stay in your pews, that's fine, but come forward for a blessing and let's pray together as a church.
Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come with your power to heal us. Come in your own special way. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come with your power to free us. Come in your own special way.
Keep that prayer in your heart. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. We pray that this may be a new beginning for us, that you may free us from the burdens of our sins, the burdens of our debts, the burdens of the past, and fill us with hope, love, faith. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit be on our lives, starting anew this day. In the name of Jesus, we sever any of the ties of the mistakes or the sins, the brokenness or the unforgiveness that hold us back. In the name of Jesus, we just sever those. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you fill us with God's love, with God's hope, God's faith, God's mercy and forgiveness. That you may forgive us our debts, that you may free us from the slavery of anything that holds us back, whatever it may be, whether it be sickness, health, emotional, or spiritual sickness, whether it be financial or worldly things, whether it be injustices, whether it be those who haven't forgiven us or those we haven't forgiven. Lord Jesus, we just sever all those things. They have no power over your people. And your Holy Spirit, Lord, give us that jubilee, that new beginning, that fresh spirit, your love.
Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come with your power to heal us. Come in your own special way.
We pray that you come upon all those in this church, no matter where we may be, standing here or in the pews. We pray that you come upon our family members who are not here, those in our community who are searching and broken and need to be set free. Lord Jesus, we ask that this also, we pray for this church community, our church, that it be a new beginning for us, that you use us and fill us with your spirit to proclaim your good news to the poor, to set captives free, to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, so that they may know your joy, your love, your peace, your Holy Spirit, your jubilee. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Prayerfully, please return to your seats and continue to pray in the Spirit.
Come with your power to heal us.